With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us in studio, happy to have the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, in studio with us. Coach, good to see you. How have you been?
I've been great. And yourself?
I've been okay. It's been a while since we've talked.
I know it has. It's good to be back on with you guys and
so what do you got
see
going
this
on?
Guy
Is
here.
Is there anything going on at all? You've been busy
no,
at all?
Pretty,
just hanging
pretty
out?
Quiet.
Off-season
yeah.
quiet.
Been just working working in the community. Yeah. You know,
I could tell from the start of that news conference a couple months ago how really genuinely excited you were about having your players back. It makes a difference.
I'm fired
it?
Up. Yeah, it's good to see them and get caught up on life and, you know, and then to see – you know, who's put the work in, and most of them have been working, and to see them interact with one another again and just, you know, kind of joke around and really start building our team again. It was a lot of fun today.
How many guys have you got actually on the roster? How many do you have? You have to keep, like, I don't know how many draft picks you got. You have to keep those slots open?
We do. Yeah, I mean, it's a 90 total. Yeah, 90 total. I couldn't even tell you right now what the exact number is. We just added two more over the weekend here with Tenney and Jeremy there, so...
Will you go up to 90 and then back and then cut a couple of guys before the draft?
It always varies because we want to find the right 90, right? So some teams will just add 90 just to get to the magic number of 90. Steve, what we'll do is Brandon and I will just, if we don't think anyone else is worthy of being on the 90, then we'll just stop at, you know, 87, 88 until two apples fall off the tree that are worthy to be added. We'll stay where we are.
We were talking to Lorenzo Alexander about this last week. He comes back for a second year with you and your staff. It's got to be an entirely different atmosphere than where you were a year ago when guys are walking around with "Hello, my name is" tags on, you know, and you're introducing yourself. You get guys coming back who know what your expectations were, know where the, you know, the baseline is for the work that's involved and the work that's expected. It's got to make a huge difference.
It does, and those are the guys I'm really banking on, leaning on to take great ownership of who we are this year and what we're all about. I mean, we're not going to change what we did last year in terms of things that are important to us. We're going to double down, in fact, on those areas, and those guys will take the lead on that because they're the leaders. And I think the player-driven leadership is important in our locker room.
Yeah, before we go on to the next, what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, I wanted to ask you, what do you find out about these? Because I was telling Murph how it reminded me watching those guys work out how much I hated minicamp. It's like, come on.
What type of attitude
right.
is that?
Huh? I'm totally not a leader. So – what do you find out about these guys? Because you said yourself, I mean, this is a chance. Some of these guys are going to be here for a couple of weeks, and then you're going to say, you know what, thanks for stopping by. You know, you find out everything you can find out on these guys, but you're limited, right? And
right.
as to what you can do with them right. and all that. So what do you, you know, what are your expectations generally? I mean, certainly it's different from position to position and individual player to individual player. But what, generally speaking, what do you want to know about these
guys?
I
think just really is getting to know them and them getting to know us. That's a big part of developing trust, which is important as we move forward in these relationships. Get to know them. Right now, we really can't be on the field from a coaching standpoint, albeit they can be on the field from a strength and conditioning standpoint. But other than that, we really can't get to know them on the field, which is what it is. I mean, that's the way things are. But really the most important thing is building those relationships, developing the trust, and then them learning the scheme so that they right. can go out there and play fast.
Now, I was out loving, too, because we were watching them, and certainly your strength conditioning coaches are out there and stuff. But, I mean, are you just testing them? I mean, really just finding out, like you said, just, okay, he's staying in shape, or he actually looks better, or that kind of thing. You're just looking for aberrations where a guy's, like, off the charts, you've right. gained weight, or after off
yeah,
the charts.
Yeah, I think so. I think, progress. Yeah, we're just trying to see where people are. Eric Ciano and his staff do a great job of really putting together a solid plan for the players when they get in, and so they were just starting that plan today. They were out there stretching, going through some movement, and then they were in the weight room working, so... it's some on-the-field conditioning work and then off-the-field in terms of the weight room work as well.
Coach, I want to ask you about offensive line where you've lost some players, including Incognito, who remains on reserve retired. But you're well set up there, it seems to me, with some veteran guys who have played in this league who can probably fill in some of these spots, huh?
Yeah, we've added some veteran players with Bodine and Newhouse, and then you look at Ryan Groy and what he was able to do a few years ago playing the end of the season like he did. The youth in Dion and some of those players. So, you know, we've got some guys that are in high competition for some spots, and it offers a great opportunity for young players to come in and help us. And it doesn't have to be young players. It can be veteran players as well, whether it's John Miller or whomever. You know, you look at Vlad and what he did last year, and so having him back another season. So, you know, these guys are going to compete, and really part of the challenge is for them to take their level of competition to a whole new level as we go through these next couple of weeks here.
How much can you find out? I know you watch tape all day on these guys, every pro free agent you've got. I mean, you got miles of tape on them. But, for instance, how do you check out a guy like Marshall Newhouse, who is a guy who played in Oakland? You have network of coaches in around the league. You call and say, tell me about this guy. You're trying to find out about him off the field as much as you are what the tape shows.
Right, Steve. It's, you know, we talk a lot in here about DNA and the fit, and that's probably where it starts is, hey, tell us about the person. What did we know about him from college? What may have changed since that point in time? Do we know anyone that's worked with him at the present or at his past team? And so then we look at the film and say, hey, does his skill set marry up to what we're trying to do in our offensive system, in this case along the offensive line? So, we try and really drill down on the person on and off the field and see if they're a fit. And you hope more times than not that you're right and the research pays off. You know, once in a while it doesn't turn out to work out, and that's why free agency is so dicey, if you will, that it's really not how we want to build our team. We really want to build our team through the draft and continue to develop those players in the draft so that we can retain those players, right, as opposed to them hitting the free agent market and going to play for someone else in turn. So, you know, the free agent part of the process is a piece, but it's not the entire piece for us.
One more offensive line question, and you were asked about again, did you lose Cordy Glenn, who had been a starter, but when I think back at last year, I think of Deion Dawkins as your left tackle starter, right? I mean, he's coming back.
He was. He was really our left tackle starter and did a good job in his first season. The challenge would be for a lot of our quote-unquote second-year sophomores, if you will, to come back that had success, you know, to a point last year. Tre'Davious White, what a magnificent rookie year he had. Deion, you look at what the other young players, and Zay had a lot of playing time, had some ups and he had some downs. And Matt Milano, Nate was out there some, Tanner was out there in special teams, in a special teams capacity. So that's a big challenge to come back, stay hungry when you've experienced some success, and really try and take your game to a whole new level.
I know, as you said, you'd rather have draft picks, but the Bills were not shy this offseason. Brandon Bean not shy about adding veterans on the defensive side of the ball. Star Lotulelei, Trent Murphy, Vontae Davis. You've added a lot on the defensive side of the ball in free agency.
We have, and those, you know, those are good players. Trent is obviously coming off of a knee. You know, we went back and looked at where we could improve, and we felt like we needed some help up front, and Brandon and his staff did a good job of adding Star and Trent up front and the ability to affect the quarterback and obviously stop the run as well, and then to add a corner of Vontae's ability when we did. I thought, you know, we took advantage of a good opportunity when it presented itself, and we're not done. You know, we added Tenney over the weekend here, and he's another piece for us. So, you know, we're looking forward to adding in the future good football players through this draft, but also adding a level of competition because at the end of the day, that's what brings out the best in all of us.
Okay, so let's talk about whatever he's talking about is the draft. I mean, you got it coming up, and this is the, you know.
I just heard
it. You're like twitching. Are you?
Yeah. I love it.
I just heard it's the biggest draft since Jim Kelly.
Listen, we and you guys got grilled about it in the press conference a few minutes ago, and it's true. I mean, you're living in Buffalo, so you can't go to the gas station and not have a conversation. Am I right?
That's right. Right? That's accurate. That's right.
I mean, that's everybody's in it with us. I mean, we're all in it together.
I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know. So give us your thoughts on, I mean,
we want to take you through a normal day in the life
right
now, during
a little bit, but I just want you to tell us a little bit, how do you handle the fact that everybody wants to know you know, you're going to trade up from 12. You already traded up to 12. That's really it's awesome. You know, who do you like? But which of the quarterbacks you like better? Who's the most likely trade partner? Yada, yada. I mean, we can go on and on because Murph and I are talking about this.
These are all good questions.
Right. So how do you handle all that? Because, you know, and I know that the answer is not yet to be known.
Yeah, that's the hard part. I wish we could – I wish, you know, Brandon and I had the secret right now that, hey, this is what we've got up our sleeve. This is what we can't tell you guys yet, but we're all going to be okay. You know, and unfortunately, that's not where we are. I know we're going to be okay from a standpoint of – listen, we're either going to get, we trade up and we package picks and get this. We trade down and get more picks. We stay where we are. We've got a decent amount of picks already. This is what I know, is I know that the work's been put in, and we still have work to do yet. That said, we're going to find good football players, and we have an opportunity to dramatically improve our football team, albeit it'll be with youth. That means the future of this organization will be bright if we find the right players with those picks. So there's a lot of things out there that could happen between now and when Mr. Goodell steps up to that microphone and opens up the 2018 draft, and that's the exciting part too. I know our fans are excited. I'm excited and probably won't sleep a whole lot. I know right. Brandon won't between now and draft day, so – I love the fact that we're in it together.
What's the biggest curveball, the biggest, you know, wild pitch that could come out of this, coming into the draft, you know? Like, what do you wish you knew that you don't now?
Well, I'd like to,
by the way. I'm glad I asked that. What's the biggest thing you wish you knew?
It's tough being modest and humble, right?
What's the biggest thing you don't know now that you wish you did?
Well, what the teams ahead of us are going to pick.
Right.
I mean, that's what we wish we
the
knew.
The answer was simpler than I hoped it would be.
Maybe it wasn't such a good question.
No, I mean, honestly, you say, hey, we're sitting at 12. What are 1 through 11 planning to do? And, you know, and are they open for business or are they not? Right. I mean, that's – and who's below us open for business?
And
right?
how high do you have to jump?
Right.
If you really want to get up there or if the chance arises, right?
I mean, every year there's a little bit of a curveball most years in the first round that, oh, we didn't expect that. And as a league, the league or the draft experts out there would say, oh, that was a little bit unexpected. This player went maybe a round earlier, right? And so that's kind of the buzz that brings that comes with the draft.
You expect, I've been saying this, and Brandon kind of addressed it in the press conference. A lot of this happens on draft day. When the clock starts, when this team gets on the clock and the phone rings,
right,
that's when it all happens.
It is, and the part that's needed really is the couple days. You go back a couple days, usually year to year. That's when people start to, hey, the phone starts to ring. You're at X in this case for us at 12. Are you interested in moving down? Are you interested in moving up? And then Brandon will come into my office, and I can already see it now. Hey, so I just got a call from so and so. And it just the shopping starts, right?
Right.
And the jockeying for position one way or the other. So, you know, and I can empathize with our fan base. It's exciting for them. It's exciting for us. And look, I wish everyone of our fans at least could be in our draft room to experience the electric atmosphere that's in there on draft night. Really unmatched in terms of the off-the-field type of electricity.
So much focus on the quarterbacks in this draft, and Brandon mentioned it a few moments ago. Sean, how much have you been involved in the pre-draft prep for quarterbacks and everybody as far as interviews, face-to-face meeting time with some of these prospects?
Right, very involved. Our coaches, and we have a very team-oriented approach to the draft with our personnel staff and our coaching staff, and Brandon and his staff do a great job of staying open to listening to our coaches. We send our coaches out on private workouts to campuses. They spend more time with draft eligible players, finding out a little bit of some questions we might have in order to drill down further. We have players that come into our facility. So our staff is very involved. I myself have been very involved and Brandon in our conversations with Joe Shane, our assistant general manager, and in particular certain positions we're looking hard at to improve. So and then Terry and Kim are involved as well. So that's the great part about our ownership is they are very much involved and supportive of what we do.
Tell me a little bit, I want to ask you, one of the things I say about free agency every year, the most important free agents are maybe coordinators. And you got a new one on the offensive side. Tell us about him.
Well, he's a local guy. I know a lot of people from the area know of Brian Dable. You know, he and I first got to know one another at Wim and Mary years ago. He was one of the coaches on the staff, and I was still actually playing. And I've just since that time stayed in touch with Brian and had a chance to watch his career unfold in New England and before that at Michigan State and then at a couple other stops and lately at Alabama winning a national championship. So it's been really interesting to watch Brian develop and his career take shape and to bring a local guy back home. Forget the fact that he and I knew one another, but to bring a local guy back home, that's been fun to watch. I've been a part of that before in Philadelphia when I was a coordinator coaching in my backyard where I grew up, and I know the good parts of that. I know the challenges with that too, and so the neat part really that Brian and I can do is we can sit in a room and really say, hey, this is how, you know, what I grew up around, he being with Coach Belichick, myself with Coach Reed, probably two of the more successful active coaches left in the game.
Right.
So it's been really fun to have those type of powwows, if you will.
Last thing, John, you were asked in the news conference this similar question to this, but you have a chance now to get before the 2018 Bills for the first time today. What message did you try to impart to them? What did you want them to know about what to expect in the coming months?
Yeah, really just, you know, as far as what to expect, we always try and paint things in a very clear way so that there's great clarity around what we do and what's expected and give them a chance to be the best or develop into the best version of themselves. And but really more than that was for us to you know, let's get real and talk about here's 12 teams that made the playoffs in 2016 and the list of the playoff teams in 2017, there was only four teams that repeated. So that's the harsh reality of our league. That's the parity that makes our league so exciting from 1 week, 1 year to the next. So we have our work cut out for us. We're not where we need to be. And not to sound negative, but to go back to saying, hey, this is a new team. There's new people on board. And with that, new personalities and a new culture. Certainly, we will carry forward some things, yes, but we have to start over. And I went through a situation in Carolina coming off the Super Bowl in 2015 and went into 2016, and we won six games. So that's real. That's a part of our league, which in turn makes it very exciting. And but we have to put in the work. We've got to earn the right to get back to where we were and to climb higher when that opportunity presents itself.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.